He's bad, he's beautiful, he's crazy. It's
Rich Eisen.
The best thing about us, though, is it's about us.
That is the new slogan for RES Consulting.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Is he comeback player of the year?
Russ, he's 34-1, Russell Wilson.
Comeback player of the year?
Yeah.
See, people are even thinking it's possible.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Actor, Omar J. Dorsey. Coming up, Fox Sports rules analyst, Dean Blandino. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air, which means, you know, in case you're new here, there were two other hours before it.
That's how we do.
I don't know why I decided to come on the air starting that way.
I like when you do stuff like just, that.
The best thing about us, though, is it's about us.
It is. You know, honestly, like I've been thinking, yo, what is the best thing about us? It's about us. You know? When you think about it. Just put your finger right on
when,
that.
When you think about it.
I heard that soundbite. I'm like, that's the new RES Consulting. Give it to me one more time. It's too good. It's just absolutely too good right here.
The best thing about us, though, is it's about us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, Rich, we got Tiger Woods playing golf this week.
That's right.
That's hopefully doing that. Yeah. Hopefully dropping
darts. Not great.
That's Tiger Woods, y'all.
That is great.
He looks so good, too.
Does he?
I haven't
seen him.
Oh, he spoke this morning.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he looks jacked. He said he's walking so much better. All the surgeries in last year.
All right.
He wants to play one tournament a month in 2024.
Oh, boy.
Get me to April.
Does he want the John Rahm deal that's supposedly on the table? Did you hear about that rumor?
I thought
the LIV Tour was supposed to lay off the PGA Tour players.
Wow.
I thought that was part of... This is over?
The agreement is falling apart.
You think so?
Yeah.
If the Saudis are knocking on John Rahm's door and saying, how does $600 million sound to you?
I got to be honest, man.
Yo, I heard that
to play golf.
I've read that the Fenway Sports Group might be coming in to save
what?
The PGA Tour instead of the Saudis now.
Oh, is that right? LeBron's going to come to the rescue with
John Henry, who I can't stand.
And Tom Werner?
Yeah, potentially. I've heard that.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm taking 600. That's all I'm saying.
So you know what they could do? They could use that revenue to keep the next Mookie Betts.
Oh.
Sorry.
To go get Yamamoto and Ohtani, you mean?
Oh, there you go.
Well, that ain't
why not? There you go.
They're too cheap.
Let me tell you where Ohtani's not going.
We just talked about, by the way, Dean Blandino is about to come out here. His hair looks perfect.
Yeah.
Dean, honestly, guys. I'm just telling you, he's going to show us all up.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to sit down with his hair looking
Saturdays
perfect.
Saturdays and Sundays, Dean comes on.
No challenge flag.
The rules, and you're
No challenge flag on that hair.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. He's doing it right.
Speaking of challenge flags, did you see the one from Matt Eberflus last night in the fourth quarter as the Vikings were driving? He threw a challenge flag on a Jordan Addison catch saying it wasn't a catch. They upheld it. But at the point in time, he threw it from his sideline all the way to the midfield Vikings logo. At the time, it was the longest Bears attempt of the night. It was unreal. It was the longest attempt of the night.
I wondered where you were going with that.
Justin Fields.
That said.
I don't know if it's Luke Getsy, the OC play caller, just concerned that Brian Flores was going to blitz him coming off the bus, which they do to everybody. And he just, like, was concerned about Fields' ability to read the defense and trust what he's seeing and hit the hot receiver and manage the game with a crazy coordinator blitzing like crazy. And because every single pass attempt went behind the line of scrimmage, it felt like. The ESPN broadcast last night at one point said the average completion of Fields' night, where the receiver caught it, essentially, the average distance from the line of scrimmage was 0.3 yards.
Jesus. What makes you think? What makes you think I'm gonna miss this in March?
Three. Yards. It was 0.3 yards from the line of scrimmage.
Oh God.
And I'm like, wait a minute.
That's terrible.
That's insane.
This is the same Justin Fields that made it to the Heisman podium, right? Like, it's the same Justin Fields that threw the entire route tree on Georgia in a playoff game, right?
Didn't he beat Michigan?
He is, fun fact,
the last,
Ohio State quarterback to beat Michigan. And in case you're wondering, this is Justin Fields' third year in the NFL. Hashtag facts. But, like, what is going on? And I know he said he felt like a robot before, you know, in the season, and that made everybody flip out. And so that means Justin Fields is never going to give you a soundbite the rest of his life. But what the hell was that? And then at the end of the game, Brian Flores starts playing coverage, and Fields finds DJ Moore wide open over the middle.
He ripped that pass.
That was a ripped dart.
Ripped that.
Yes, he did. Like, he saw it, and he ripped it, and that won the game for the Bears, whose defense started playing lights out. I mean, Eberflus can call a defense, and I know Bears fans might be done with him. I don't know. This is a fascinating conversation. A fascinating conversation. Because, as you know, some NFL narratives, like John McClain, die hard. Case in point, Chiefs offense. It's no Tyreek Hill is going to cost them in the passing game, right? They won the Super Bowl last year. That thing's dead until they go three straight games without scoring a point in the second half. And poof, there comes the narrative again.
Yep.
Again.
What's up with the Chiefs offense?
And so the narrative is, do the Bears have their next franchise quarterback in Justin Fields? And it's amazing how the only quarterback of that draft class where that's not a question is Trevor Lawrence. Everything else is, you know, Zach Wilson's just like the guy chosen behind him, third string this weekend, except Trey Lance is on his second team now. Mac Jones, I mean, as much as Bill keeps thinking about it,
he's been benched five times this year.
It's crazy. It's a lot of zappy time.
They should find Mrs.
But
Jones.
Justin Fields has some incredible ability. He has got an uncanny ability to stay upright. Even sometimes to his detriment, that's how he blew out his thumb for a month because he didn't know when the play ended.
And he's a great runner, man.
And he's got an arm. And here we are again. Here's the narrative again, because the pick the Bears got from Carolina in this coming draft may be first overall again. And then the question is, if the Bears choose first overall again, are they going to allow Ryan Poles to be the general manager to pick it? Are they going to allow Matt Eberflus to be the coach to coach that player? And you got to make that decision, like, right away. Like, you've got to do it right as soon as the season ends, because if you have any doubts about it, you can't just go through the process. You can't be like the Jets and let one general manager choose the player and then bring in the new general manager after the draft. I can't believe they friggin' did that with Adam Gase still the coach. What the? All right, I got to stop. But this is happening again.
Of the New York
Jets. Stop it. That's way before. That's John Isaac.
Several GMs ago. Yeah,
exactly.
But it's not about the Jets. It's about the Bears. And what decision do they have in front of them? You know, and the next few weeks are 100% an audition. I think you have to, if you're the Bears,
absolutely.
Oh, but for everybody, for the coach, for the quarterback, I mean, the general manager's already, you know, made his last move. By the way, Montez Sweat looks like a nice pickup, right?
Yeah.
Like you get him, if you will, on the cheap, because your second round draft choice in this upcoming draft, it ain't going to be Montez Sweat, who's had sacks in the last two games.
Yeah,
and balling. You signed him. He's yours. Chicago's next games. Next up, they're on a bye. And they come back. They're home against the Detroit team. It's the Lions' last outdoor game of the year. Mm-hmm. You know that, you know, we just saw the last time they played one another. At Cleveland, home for Arizona, home for Atlanta, at Green Bay.
And if they don't,
do you use that as a referendum that Fields isn't the guy? Because Caleb Williams is the guy. I'm telling everybody, forget about all this nonsense out there. I'm telling you. All the nonsense will be out there. Is he really coming out? We'll end in the middle of January, and I'll tell you how it's going to look. It's going to go like this. It's going to be an outstanding, beautiful Instagram post with a message, and it's going to be graphically wonderful. It's going to look great. It's going to be a picture of him, and it's going to be him smiling and whatever with a heartfelt message saying farewell to college football and everybody else.
USC.
All of it. Is he going to include Oklahoma in there just to piss off Zach Rosenfield, publicist to the Stars?
Thank you, Lincoln Riley.
Oh, it's going to be all that. It's going to be wonderful. And then we're going to see him at the Super Bowl. Maybe he'll be kind enough to come on the Rich Eisen show.
That would be fantastic.
He'll be at the Super Bowl representing some sports drink. Of something. He'll be there.
Sandwich.
And it'll be all conversations about him. Oh, no, I'll go wherever I'm drafted. Wink. You'll have to answer all those questions. Then we'll see him in Indianapolis at the combine, and he'll be wearing his pajamas. He ain't throwing.
No.
Won't be there. And then all of a sudden, you know who's going to throw there? Maybe Drake May throws. Maybe Penix throws. No. Penix and Nix. Okay, all of them. We're going to see him talk about how deep this quarterback draft class is. And then all of a sudden, it'll be like, look how these guys throw. And wait a minute, did Caleb Williams cry on his mama's shoulder? Did he say he's just going to go home and Netflix and roll up with his dog? And didn't he? What happened at the end of USC, UCLA? He didn't even talk to the media. What's wrong with this kid? And then he's going to throw it. He's going to throw it his pro day. He's going to light it the F up, and he's going to be first overall. That is the way it's going to go.
He's
going to
say it next time, DJ.
I'm telling you. I've been around this block.
Yeah, you have.
So the Bears are going to have this choice. Because the only thing that could prevent the Bears from having this choice about Caleb Williams is if the Patriots actually get the first overall pick in this draft.
That is never...
Brockman can't control himself. This was me, Chris, you or me through the first 12 weeks of the 2020 season thinking that Trevor Lawrence was coming to the Jets.
We're so close.
I remember.
And then again, as I said at the end of last hour, the Jets, for some reason, won two games in a row.
We're so close.
How do those work? Are those banners anywhere in New Jersey? In Florham Park, do they have anything in that moment that Frank Gore creased the end zone against the Rams?
The end zone.
Have any of those moments? any of the Greg with 3G Williams, defensive game plans and laminate hung on a wall about beating the Browns in that day? Oh, remember that day? Oh, so great for the Jets organization.
Great win.
It was a good win.
Caleb Williams is on the line. What do you do if you're the Bears? It is on. And every game's a referendum, and we saw last night. They came up with the W. And that win, by the way, just the Chicago Bears over the span of an 8-day period might have the ultimate say, or might have had the ultimate say in who wins the NFC North. Because they folded, if you will, against the Lions and stayed strong and didn't fold against the Vikings. Mm-hmm. And that may be the difference. One other thing before we'll take a break here. There was a moment in this game where I believe Addison went on a 17-yard gain, which, by the way, in a game like last night, was like Javon Holland's 99-yard pick six on a Hail Mary, okay?
Yeah.
And it's not a 17-yard gain. It's a 4-yard gain because his knee was down. And wait, did the Bears challenge it? Nope. Replay assist buzzed in. Huh. So they're watching and they're buzzing in to fix stuff like that.
It does work.
But a million other things that they could fix, they're not allowed to. And other things that you think they should fix, they don't. One of the many mind-boggling, frustrating aspects about officiating. So we're going to hold Dean Blandino fully responsible. But at least his hair is perfect. The former head of NFL refs, Fox Rules analyst Dean Blandino is here. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. All right, back here on Roku, our radio audience rejoins in a matter of moments. Good to see you, Dean Blandino. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. I think we might have first met at an owner's meeting when you got the gig, right?
I think
when
so.
When you took over for Pereira as the head of NFL
Pereira,
refs?
2013.
Yeah.
Big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
He actually gave them to me. He gave me a pair.
Well,
I mean, you have to fill these.
Yeah, I mean, at least you were in the office when coaches called.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
No,
Mike's taking strays here.
Yeah. He's probably at home convalescing anyway. Yeah. Mike knows I love him, but no, that we got word when he started doing the NFL Network segments, the official review segments, that. That he couldn't do it on certain days. Like, he couldn't, we used to do it right away.
Yeah.
And he wasn't in the office because we were doing the segment together. And it was a day when coaches are really calling. Needless to say, that thing got pushed to like Thursday. It got pushed way out in the week.
One time he wasn't feeling well, and they asked if I would do it. And I said, yeah, that's fine.
Official review. On Total Access.
And you've never seen a more miraculous recovery. Like Lazarus.
It's like Osweiler thinking he's getting in the game and Peyton Manning comes running out.
Here's my moment. I have my helmet. I'm ready to go. And here comes Mike. Like Willis Reed. Funny. You know, he's just.
You take your headset and throw it down like Osweiler. And there goes, there goes Mike out to the studio. That is funny. Mike, if you're out there, we're sending our best. He's coming off of back surgery, right?
He's recovering. Okay, good. Just had back surgery, so he's doing well.
Okay, great. Fantastic. So Dean Blandino is here. Our radio audience is about to rejoin, and then we're going to get right into this thing. It's going to be fun. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Fox Rules analyst and former head of NFL refs, Dean Blandino, back here on the show. It is good to see you. I'm throwing you right in the line of fire, Dean.
Let's go.
Roman Wilson, touchdown for Michigan. What do you got for me? Because Ohio State fans are like, oh, we should have won by 1 point because that's 7 points. That guy over there thinks that the ball was moving. What do you got for me?
It was definitely moving. I think the issue was control, right? To me, whatever they called on the field had to stand.
Okay.
It wasn't clear and obvious to change it. You've got the end zone involved. So Wilson looked like he had it. Once he has it long enough and we're in the end zone, it can't be a fumble at that point, right? It's either a touchdown, or if he doesn't have it, it could have been an interception. I thought whatever they ruled on the field, they had to stay. It was just one of those plays where it's that close. And there's subjectivity to it. Does he have control? Is it firm control?
Right.
How long does he have it? It was one of those plays.
Okay, so there was nothing clear and obvious to overturn it. You ask anybody from Scarlett and Gray, and they'll say there was absolutely something.
If that play happens at midfield, that's an interception, right?
And that's a great point, because I think if it happens at midfield, not that the rule's different, I think the officials lean interception. I think they say survival of the fittest, and they go interception. And now we're stuck with, again, ruling on the field's interception. It's not clear and obvious.
What's the difference, though? Why does it have to
be like
that
in
the
end zone? Once he has possession
and knees down,
it's over.
Like
right?
That,
it's
right
over.
There. Like that, right there. Well, and he does have possession of it. Yeah. Like
who has possession there?
You could see if to take a look back at the play.
But that picture, you can't tell me who has the ball.
No. Take a look back at the play. He's got two hands on it, and his knee is down, and that's when the Ohio State guy tries to rip it out.
He pulled it out late.
And so if it's on the 50-yard line,
officials ruled possession in the end zone,
right.
It's over at that point. In the field of play, the rule isn't different. I just think the officials might have let it play out a little longer, right? Because now you don't have the end zone involved. But again, neither here nor there. It was too close to change.
And now, 8 years ago, was that a proper spot? No, I'm just kidding. All right. Let's move to the NFL right now, because I think the NFL has an officiating problem from the point of view of the fan. The fans believe that officiating has never been worse in the National Football League. And that's how I start this conversation. Would you agree with that assessment, Dean Blandino?
I don't know if it's never been worse. I've heard this before. I've been involved in NFL officiating since 95.
Okay.
And we've heard this before. It's worse than it's ever been. It's terrible. It's this, it's that. I think the scrutiny is greater. I think the technology, I think the access that we have, the angles, the technology,
the 4K of it all, too.
All of it. And I think there's a disconnect between when you watch a play at full speed on the field from one perspective, and then you take that play and now we're going to analyze it from four different angles and super slow motion. There's a disconnect, right? The officials only get that one look. I do feel like we're getting worse on the field because we're relying too much on replay and we're relying too much on technology to help us. And I think we're getting away from
really
the on-field officials and getting them to a point where we don't have to go to replay. We can get it right initially.
Really? So what the point of that is what? That the officials are not focused as they don't need to be as focused in the moment because they know there's a backstop?
I think they're focused, but I think they're relying too much on replay. They have their wireless communication. They have somebody in their ear. They're not being as decisive, and they're wanting help from upstairs or getting help from upstairs.
Huh.
And they're not. I think I've said this before, and I look at it this way, right? Think of the newer cars today. The newer cars today have all the bells and whistles, right? You back up, it beeps. You got the rear view mirror. You got the camera, all that stuff. Drive a car from 1995. Try to pull out of your driveway. Like it's right. You become we're worse drivers today because we have all this technology helping us, and that's what I think is happening with the officials to some extent. Is we're relying so much. How many plays have you seen where it's a clear and complete pass, but they don't make a decision and they let it go, right? And then we come back and we have to put it back and reset the clock. So I think we're relying a little bit too much on replay. I think replay is great. I think we need to add it in some instances, but I think we need to work on the officials and getting them back to basics.
Before we get to that, but what about plays that have nothing to do with replay? For instance, how is Josh Allen not being taken down by the back of his jersey and the front of his jersey that is ripped as the son of Ed is staring right at it, man? I mean, and that's so damaging when that happens. Like, he's looking right at it. And those types of plays, Justin Herbert getting hit just as he's going out of bounds or just as he's gone out of bounds, No flag there, but let's flag the offensive lineman that's clearly inflamed by the moment.
Sure, like
let's not just let it all play out. Let's just be a robot about it. You know, that sort of stuff. And the conversation I hear out of that is that if there were more year-round reps and conversations, if these folks were full-time employees instead of letting them be moonlighters, then that stuff would be cleaned up. How do you answer that?
Well, I think the idea of full-time officials, it's a term we like to throw around. I think they are as full-time as anyone can be in season, right? I think they are just, they watch a ton of film. They work hours upon hours upon hours.
Like what? Let's give people an idea.
You're going to work your game, right? You get in the day before, you're going to go through an entire pregame the day before on Saturday, 4 or 5 hours, then you're going to work the game.
Like, what's the pregame, though? Like, you know the players?
You're going through, and that's the preparation during the week. They are scouting the two teams. If we've got the Eagles and 49ers playing on Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Okay? That crew is going to look at the last couple of weeks. They're going to look at if those two teams, they'll go back to the playoff game. They'll look at all of those things, look for trends, just like the teams are scouting their opponents.
Spend time looking at film?
Looking at tendencies.
As a group or individually?
Individually during the week because they all live in different places.
Yes, sir.
And I think there's, can we get together now with Zoom, the virtual world? We can do that. They have conference calls. They'll go through. And then on Saturday, they'll go through. Okay, we're going to go through, right? The Eagles, obviously, short yardage. This is the brotherly shove. Here's how we're going to officiate. Here's what they do. All of these different things. So that's what goes into a week of preparation. They get the evaluation of their previous game from the league office. They're going through that. Mistakes they made. Things they need to work on. Mechanics, positioning, communication. All of that. So they're spending, you know, 30, 40 hours a week looking at that stuff. And it used to be you had a full-time job and you officiated. Now, when you get to this level at the NFL, you're a full-time official and you have a job on the side, or you don't even have a job on the side. I think where they could get better in the offseason, getting officials together more, getting them to OTAs, they go to training camps now. Anytime you can spend more time at your craft, you're going to be better. You're absolutely going to be better. So I think that there's an opportunity there, whether we call them full-time or not. I don't know if the term means anything.
What about having them call some of these spring games for other leagues?
Absolutely.
Honestly,
and we've had those conversations.
What's the holdup? Money?
I don't
money?
Think there is.
Is it money?
I don't think there is. I think you, and that's always been, you know, the NFL has more money than they know what to do with.
Correct.
Right. So they have to put the resources in. I think spring football is an opportunity. We used to have NFL Europe where officials would go. So I think the new spring football league, right? The XFL, the USFL is merging. I'll be a part of that.
Okay.
I think there's an opportunity there to have, you know, first or second year NFL officials work in that league, or maybe it's an official you're thinking about becoming a referee. I think there's an opportunity there.
So how of Dean Blandino, former head of NFL refs, Fox rules analyst here on the Rich Eisen show. So how do these guys and ladies get better? How do they get better? Because I understand it's fast. Yeah. I've stood on the sideline myself, and for them to see stuff as it's going that fast with people that big becoming even bigger because there's pads and helmets on, it is remarkable how much they get right. But the stuff that's getting wrong seems to be coming home to roost a heck of a lot more in recent years.
Yeah.
So what happens? Like, what goes down, man?
It's reps. It's actual reps on the field. It's video. And holding the officials, a lot of people don't know. The officials are held accountable.
How
right?
so?
They are evaluated on every game. They're evaluated on all the calls they make, they should have made, the positioning, the mechanics, all of it, their rules knowledge. They have to take exams and pass those exams. And that evaluation, right, that accumulates throughout the season. And if you don't grade out, right, they have a tier system. And if you're in a lower tier, you're not getting a postseason assignment. Then you're kind of going into a remedial training. And then if you don't get up into that acceptable range, they let you go. So it's just not right. We hear when a coach gets fired. We hear when a player gets cut. We don't hear about those things when officials get let go, but they do get let go. They are held accountable. And I just don't know what is the expectation, because I've had, Bill Belichick told me the same thing that Jim Caldwell told me in two separate conversations.
And that
they
is?
Both said there are three groups that affect games: coaches, players, and officials. And he said coaches make the most mistakes, then players, then officials. They make the fewest mistakes, but officials are expected to be perfect, right? They're the only group that's expected to be perfect. And I just don't know if they're 95% accurate. We're never going to get to 100. So what is the acceptable? And I'm not, believe me, I'm not defending. I get more frustrated when I watch, you know, the Justin Herbert play, or I watch the Josh Allen play. And sometimes that's just they missed it. Sometimes we need better people. We need better training. All of that goes into it.
Well, two things. When you say that officials are the only out of a groups of players and coaches who are expected to be perfect, I think Dak Prescott would like a word. Number two.
Thanks. I thought you were going to say the broadcast.
No. I wasn't going me.
Yeah.
But no.
No, the rules analysts are perfect.
Yeah, that's
we're
true
the only
too.
Group that we
that's
actually
true
meet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Secondly, in order to help, and I know you made a point earlier that you think technology is causing a little bit of a hitch and a giddy up, a second guess not being as crisp on a call as possible. But, I mean, how could you not need it when things happen
bang?
How could you not open it up to absolutely everything? Because it's the technology is already there, and it's confusing to fans as to when it is used. Perfect example. On Monday Night Football, Jordan Addison, 17-yard gain. Nope, it's really a 4-yard gain. Why? Replay assist has buzzed in. 4-yard gain because his knee was down. Great. Why not use that as to whether a player's helmet did actually collide with a head and neck area? Why not actually use it to see if that really is roughing the passer? Why don't use it to really see if the player that is clearly being hit, in my mind, as he's going out of bounds, was in fact out of bounds, like Justin Herbert on Sunday Night Football? I don't, for the life of me, understand it, and I would like to know what is happening.
And look, I've been involved in the NFL. I was there when we brought replay back in 99, and I've seen the evolution.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree. I think there's an opportunity. We did it in spring football in the XFL last year. We gave the coaches one challenge, and you could challenge anything.
Anything.
Anything. And I remember being in meetings with Wade Phillips and Reggie Barlow and Hines Ward, and they were peppering me with questions, you know, can we challenge this? And I'm like, guys, my answer is going to be yes to any officiating decision you can challenge once. And we did it, and they challenged 43 times. We changed
on the entirety
of
the entire season. Not in a game.
Not in a game.
Right.
43 times. We overturned 11, so we corrected what we felt were 11 obvious mistakes that impacted the outcome of games. And I think there's an opportunity for that, right? I don't think we need to get into every little second on the clock or every yard. You know, it's a 28 versus 29. But when you do have big 15-yard game-changing penalties, let's use the technology, let the officials officiate the play, not be thinking about replay. But then, hey, coach, you think the official made a mistake? You think it's a horse collar? Use your challenge.
So, but what about Sky, the pushback whenever I say this to somebody in the league or competition committee or ownership is, well, what about when there's no penalty called? Because then the game now becomes a million years long.
We said you could challenge if the flag wasn't thrown.
But what I'm saying is that even if the flag wasn't, so you're saying you put it in the hands of the coach to challenge?
Yes.
Now, and not because right now you're stopping play, you're correcting mistakes to save the coach from a challenge. That system is in place again, and I don't know when it's used, because I'd rather the league use it instead of turning a 17-yard gain into a 4-yard gain. I'd rather say use it when the spot of the ball is so way off that cost the Rams a game, but the coach
that's
was
it.
Out
you
of a challenge.
You hit the nail on the head. You hit the nail on the head.
But and that's when you could.
That's what I was talking about earlier with the technology. We're correcting things that aren't as impactful, and we're not correcting the major ones, right? And
like
I think
that was game over for the Rams.
That's what we have to get to. And I think the idea of a sky judge, the concept is good, but you have to limit it, right? You can't just say, we can't just re-officiate every play and look at it. Oh, well, maybe there was a hands to the face on that play. Maybe I got to look at all 22 players. You're never going to be able to do that. So how do we limit it? And that's why we came up with the coaches challenge to say, hey, you've got one opportunity, break in case of emergency, break glass in case of emergency. And, you know, and I think going forward, we'll say, hey, if you win one, you get a second one. And those types of things where you can keep it limited, but correct an obvious mistake that is truly going to have an impact on the outcome of the
game. I would say any flag that's thrown for 15 yards should be sky judged.
Yeah.
Not ones that haven't been called.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that.
But that's where a coach can come in and use my challenge. You missed it. I'll use my challenge there. And maybe, you know, because there's so many of these, they get it right, they get another.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or one and a half.
Or
you know,
any player safety foul that's the flag is thrown, that going through kind of an all clear process for, yep, it's a flag or no, pick it up.
Right.
I think that works. Because you already have a stop clock, right?
Right. And officials are already huddling. So even if the decision isn't made out of the huddle, it still looks as if the officials on the field have made the decision. Yeah. And I kind of dig that idea because I'm watching every roughing the passer replay through my fingers like I'm watching a horror movie. I'm like, how is this one going to piss me off?
We're all over the place with roughing the passer. And the problem, and we've gotten away from this idea of body weight, drives me nuts. Because when I started, you had to actually do something. You had to lift and drive or lift and slam, do something extra. And now we're just saying, if you just tackle the quarterback and you don't get your body off to the side, it's 15 yards. And that to me is mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling.
I have a question. Dean, do you think there's more scrutiny on officiating now last year because of the prevalence of gambling?
No doubt. No doubt. The people that, look, I get it, and with sports gambling, and that's a part of, you know, now it's legal in however many states it is, there's no doubt that that has increased the scrutiny on officials. And I think the NFL has to take that seriously. They really do. Because if you're even, and especially if they want a piece of the pie, you're going to have to put in controls to say that our games, Matt, like think about the NFC Championship game in 2018, right? That where that egregious missed call is
the pass interference,
right? You can make a case that the wrong team went to the Super Bowl. Yeah, I know there's a lot of other things that happened during the game, but there's no doubt gambling has a big impact on how people view officiating, and it's not going to decrease.
Yeah, we're seeing commercials. Do this prop. It's player this XYZ first to score a touchdown. All of that stuff, and you're seeing calls against, maybe not, missed.
But I also have to push back here and say,
look at that and go, well, what is going on?
No, I get it. But officials are completely clueless when it comes to that.
No. But officials are completely.
They have no idea. They have no idea.
And that's where
people. Now, I know that people would say that that's naive or whatever. But
the officials honestly, and sometimes they just miss it, right? They just screw up like we all screw up at times. There's nothing nefarious. There's nothing sinister. They don't know point spreads and they don't know any of that. The vetting process that goes into being an NFL official is insane. And it's a process that continues when you're in the officiating department and you're part of the staff and you get your bank accounts checked and your associations checked and all of that. And the NFL has third parties that look at the gambling lines and how calls affect those
IP
lines.
IP addresses and everything,
it
man.
It is, because what the NFL does not want, and one of the things that kept me up at night was, quite frankly, a Tim Donaghy situation, right? Yeah, that's, you don't want that. And so they are kept, you know, so far away from that part of it, and they're just people out there doing a job that's really difficult, and they want to get it right, and sometimes they screw up, and... But the scrutiny has never been greater.
And then just a personal question for you, because when you're on the spot, you know, you get a call. Hey, get on the air. Yeah. Okay, you're talking in front of 35, 40 million people, and this is a wild moment. And you know if you're saying they blew it, you're calling out people you used to be the boss of or your friends of. Because sometimes I see some of the officials who do your job, former officials who do your job, and it's just like, are you not seeing what the rest of humanity is seeing? How could you sit here and defend that? And I'm wondering if just like it's so tough to criticize your pals, you know?
No, I mean, my approach always is I try to explain the rule. I try to explain what the officials or what replay is looking at and then give my opinion. If I disagree with a call, I will articulate that. I think there's a way to do it without being disrespectful. You know, I think there's a way to do it without really throwing people under the bus, but you know, and I'm sure there have been times when I've gone on and I've been on the fence a little bit and you're just trying to get your thoughts together. But my approach is always, if I disagree with the call and I think it's wrong, I'm going to say that. I'm mindful of saying it in a way where it's not, you know, adding fuel to the fire. Hey, it's a tough call. I disagree with the call. Here's what they were looking at, and then go from there.
And then just lastly, making the changes that are required that we're talking about, yeah. Sky Judge and things like that. I've been around, obviously, the NFL since 2003 with the NFL Network's advent in our 21st year, and I just see it's like turning around a tanker ship.
Yeah.
Like it's got to start in year one, and by like year 10, they'll understand the tuck rule was dumb to begin with. Okay. And the catch rule and things of that nature. So is there just a sense of like such an old school ownership? And I'm not calling anybody out. There's a lot of owners who have been in the game for a while or have had, you know, things handed down. And then there's new owners who are coming in who might take a different look at it. Yeah. What's the politics of making a change
First, there has to be an acknowledgement that there's an issue. And the NFL, as long as I've been involved in the NFL, there has been, not calling anybody out, but there has been this sentiment of people are always going to complain about officiating.
Right?
This isn't any different. But I think because I'm closer to it and you guys are closer to it and you watch it, I think what we're seeing is we are seeing some things where we're not as good as we were. And that, acknowledge that and say, okay, what can we do to fix it? Can we get the right people? Can we get the right processes in place? Work with the competition committee. Look at replay. How are we going to expand this rule? What do we need? But I think it starts with recognizing that we have an issue. And I don't know if all of the decision makers at the league office really feel like there's an issue.
And the same thing with coaches and whoever's on the competition committee. Because, again, I've always said I got to have a spot on there because
the meetings would we'd have to plan longer meetings.
By the way, I'd also have to say in the catering, please.
Yes.
But in all seriousness, and I'm just throwing my name out there for various reasons. One is because of the name of the show and there's an eye in Rich Eisen, but I think there should be somebody on that staff who talks to them about what the fans are thinking and saying, because you could sit here and say as much as you want, people are always going to complain about officiating, but there is a perception and the perception itself is a problem. And I know ratings are through the roof. Thanksgiving Lions Packers through the roof, the Monday Nighter between the Chiefs and the Eagles through the roof. It's great. But still, there is a perception problem that needs to be addressed
when it comes
to this part of the game.
It absolutely does. But if that perception problem doesn't affect the bottom line, that's where you get that kind of that glacial progress. Like there's no sense of urgency. Because like you said, it's a runaway train, the NFL, and it's because the game is so good, right? It's just amazing. And the league has done a tremendous job in marketing, and we have tremendous people and tremendous players and personalities.
Right.
And I don't think officiating, I think some people just feel like, it's always going to be that way.
Dean, thanks for coming on. I'd love to do this more often.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is great. Yeah. Love seeing you on there. Certainly when you say Michigan touchdowns should stand is called. I think it's a great part of your job.
That's where we started. And that's where
I think
we're
it's
at.
Great. We'll it's end. Called yeah. Full circle. Fox Dean. Rules analyst Dean Blandino
Dean,
here.
Can I just verify one thing?
Yes.
Dez did catch it though, right?
It depends on what rule.
Excuse
what
me.
Year? What year? What rule? Under today's rule, yes. Under the rule back then, no.
Correct.
That's it.
Facts.
I'm still upset.
Sorry, Talk pal. Rule. No matter what you say. By the way, unfortunately, Chris Webber still called timeout, too. It happens every single time.
I mean, that is true.
Thanks for coming on. This is Dean Blandino here on The Rich Eisen Show, sending him back to Fox to rule. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
So I played 11 years.
You did.
They've been to the Super Bowl 9 times.
Damn.
And I didn't get there once.
Right.
Think about that.
Right.
And I was one pick away from being drafted by the Patriots.
What happened?
The Chargers drafted
me. I know that's what happened. They didn't come up and get you.
So I went on a visit to the Patriots, and that's when Charlie Weiss was the offense coordinator. Mm-hmm. And I go to Boston, and I really like the visit. I like Charlie. I love Charlie Weiss.
Did you meet with Bill?
I did meet with Bill. You know, we sat his office right above the stadium, right there where you're looking out at the stadium. And we really just sat there. We really didn't talk about much. We just looked at each other. You know?
What do you mean? We just looked at each other, kind of staring in each other's eyes.
You know, I guess.
So you're saying it was awkward?
I mean, you know how Bill is. There's only a few things he probably wants to know about you, and I guess he was trying to get a sense of, you know, was I passionate about football? As most coaches do. You're going to invest a first-round pick on a guy. You want to make sure they're passionate.
Do you think they would have chosen you if you were available?
Well, they said they were going to choose me. Charlie Weiss promised me if I was there at 6, because they needed a running back. They needed a running back bad that year. And so, when the Chargers drafted me, I think they took Richard Seymour.
Pick.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they worked out there. Have you ever brought up to Brady when you've seen him?
Never brought it up.
You could have been Robin, his Batman.
I always thought about, you know, what would that be like?
With all due respect to Antoine Smith.
Yeah, I know, right?
To Antoine Smith.
I know. It would have been a little different. No way.
Yeah.
I'm kind of getting freaked out. Our full archive, people like LaDainian in there, youtube.com/RichEisen Show. All right. Mike Del Tufo, I feel like we're back on Shark Tank. You're pitching an idea to help officiating?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And you have forwarded this to the highest
people. I said it. They should have like an America's, basically like American Idol does, where you get to vote. You get 10 people. It could be 5 people, whatever. It's got to be where you don't have a...
An odd number is what you're saying.
What are you voting on?
You're voting on if there's a penalty. You just do like America's choice. Now, they don't have to overrule it. But just see what people, like you said, the fan, you were saying it, the fan sees. Like, we all see something. But,
so you're saying, and that's what would count?
No.
In the game?
Not at all.
Okay.
No. I want to take it one step further. I think.
So you're saying, hold on a second, before count. We go. So you're saying that, just put up on the screen, is that holding or
is
not?
Exactly.
And then you have like a snap poll.
And you have a snap poll.
Like American Idol.
Exactly. What good does that do if you can't
Like, what does that do?
Anything?
We just, you know.
It's just interactive. It's interactive. Making the broadcast.
If I wanted to know what everybody thought, I'd go to that Hellscape X. What does that help me?
That pretty much happens. I think, TJ, you brought this up. Test things out in the spring leagues, right?
Yeah.
So USFL, XFL.
And it actually stands as called by America?
A jury of 13.
Okay.
Yeah.
And 13 might be
and
too
you
many.
Challenge, someone challenges
no,
it.
Want probably more, I bet.
We already have a problem in our country. Not to get too deep here, but we already have a problem in our country of people who aren't expert at things being placed in positions where they are in charge.
You never put someone like me in a decision. Like our caller said, I'm
all right.
Informed football fan.
Bryce in Howell, Michigan. Let's take this call. What's up, Bryce?
Hey there, Rich. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
How are you?
I'm honestly doing great, man. I was at the Michigan Ohio State game on Saturday. I wanted to give you my thoughts on that. And so one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is, I'm not sure if they showed it on TV, but when Zach Zinter went down, the entire crowd started chanting, "Let's go, Zach." And that actually got the team to get up and come to the center of the field. And when they picked off that ball in the fourth quarter, Rich, I have never seen the big house explode like that. I've been to 30-plus Michigan games throughout my life, and oh, my gosh, it was a memory I'm going to have for the rest of my life.
It meant something different, Bryce. This game meant something completely different because, again, it was the last one where winner moves on and loser has the most likelihood of going home. It's from now on, it'll be for seeding or for a home field. And the only bigger, and thanks to the call, Bryce, the only bigger Michigan Ohio State game, certainly with everything with the Connor Stallion stuff on the line and Ohio State ready to pounce and saying, and any Ohio State Buckeye fan that denies this is out of their minds. Ryan Day absolutely was poised to go to the podium and be 1,000,000% smug about, well, now you know why we lost the last 2 years. Now you know why I've had trouble beating this team. It's not because of what happened on the field. It's because of what was going on with Connor Stallion's legion of cell phone users. They were absolutely ready to do that and throw everything that Michigan had been building and had been doing to Ohio State for the last 2 years totally under the bus. They were ready to do it and put it all together. The only bigger Michigan-Ohio State game that will ever be, ever again, is if they meet in the playoffs, which is, by the way, I think entirely possible. I mean, and I would bet, like, when, because it will happen, probably next year, Michigan and Ohio State make the playoffs together. I bet you the powers that be will place them in opposite ends of the bracket.
Why wouldn't you?
So they meet. If they meet, it's for the motherlode, for the entirety of it, which will dwarf this past Saturday's game.
Oh, yeah.
But in the meantime, we'll just take it, sit back, and reminisce about what used to be. And what used to be was Michigan and Ohio State would play each other, and the winner would move on and the loser would go home. And what used to be was Ohio State bitching and moaning about Connor Stallion's scheme, ticket-buying scheme, and that was exactly what was going on and the reason why Michigan was actually flipping the script on him. And let's be part of the chorus to get Jim Harbaugh suspended only to lose to his interim. And that's what we'll have. That's where we'll be until the next time.
You know, Rich, I was
no, there's really no thing. There's nothing more I need to know.
I was texting with Ben Lyons after the game.
What do you got?
Maybe I'm too much in the memorabilia now. Rod Moore, when he intercepted that ball, he dropped it. You know how much he could have sold that ball for? Somebody would have paid huge money for that.
That's neither here nor there. I'd rather bask in what I was talking about.